So we return to the Gospel of John, and our reading this morning takes us back to before Easter into the upper room on Maundy Thursday, the night before the crucifixion. Judas has gone out into the night. Jesus has spoken about betrayal. Peter has been told that he will deny his Lord. Jesus has said that he is going away, and the disciples do not understand where he is going or what their life will look like when he is gone. So when we hear Jesus say, "Do not let your hearts be troubled," we are not hearing a sentimental religious slogan. We are hearing Jesus speak into a room thick with fear and confusion, grief and uncertainty. Our second reading is from the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verses 1 through 14. John chapter 14, beginning with the first verse, "Listen for God's word to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house, there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will also know my Father. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you all this time, Philip? And you still do not know me. Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly, I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact, will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it." This is the word of the Lord. There are seasons in life when it becomes unmistakably clear that you are in a time of transition. You know you're not where you once were. You know a new chapter is beginning to open. You know the future is taking shape, and even if you can't fully see the contours of it. And it can be a very unsettling place to live. But it can also be an exciting place to live. It can be unsettling because we would much rather have certainty than ambiguity. We'd much rather have a plan that we can hold in our hands than a promise that we have to carry in our hearts. We'd much rather be given a map than to be told to keep walking, keep marching forward. The good news for us is that even when the way is not fully clear, we belong to Jesus Christ. Even when the road ahead is still unfolding, we're not without one who leads us. Even when the future is not yet visible in full, we trust the one who is already there and the one who is leading us there. We do not belong to uncertainty. We belong to Christ. That is the room of John 14. The disciples are living in a moment of transition. The old chapter is closing. The new chapter has not yet begun. Judas has gone into the night. Peter's denial has been foretold. Jesus has said he's going away. And nobody in the room yet understands what faithfulness is going to look like on the other side of it all. And it is into that unresolved, uncertain, transitional moment that Jesus says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." He doesn't say that after everything is clear. He doesn't say that after Easter morning, after the resurrection. He says it right in the middle of all of their uncertainty. And that matters because it means Jesus is not asking his disciples to wait until they understand everything before they trust him. He's asking them to trust him now. For in this passage, Jesus does not give them a map. He gives them himself. The disciples have every reason to be troubled. Their world is coming apart. The one they followed is telling them that he's leaving. The future that they thought they understood is slipping out of their hands. And yet Jesus says, "You believe in God, believe also in me." And so we can hear that phrase as a statement or a command. You believe in God, believe also in me, or trust in God, trust also in me. Either way, the point is the same. When the disciples cannot yet understand the grand plan, they are called to trust the person. And that is faith in the Gospel of John. Faith is not having every answer. Faith is not being emotionally untouched. Faith is not pretending that there is no darkness outside the door. Faith is entrusting yourself to Christ when the way is not yet clear. And I suspect that there are some of us living in that right now. Not in bright certainty, not in full understanding, but in the in-between, in the unresolved, in the place where we know enough to keep following, but not enough to feel like everything is under control. And Jesus says to the disciples there, before things are resolved, trust me. Then Jesus says, "In my Father's house, there are many dwelling places. And that phrase is often heard mainly as a passage about heaven. And there's real comfort there. But if that is all we hear, we may miss the deeper note in John. Because the phrase translated as dwelling places is related to John's great language of abiding and remaining. It is less about heavenly architecture and more about enduring relationship. Jesus is not merely saying, someday there will be room for you. He is saying, you are not being abandoned. My going is not the end of your belonging to me. The disciples hear departure as loss. Jesus speaks of it as preparation. They hear absence. He speaks of communion. They hear ending. He speaks of making room. That is one of the great shifts or turns in this text. The disciples assume that Jesus going away must mean distance. Jesus says that even his going to the Father, though, is somehow for them. What troubles them is not simply fear of death, it is fear of abandonment. And Jesus answers not by giving them a full explanation, but by giving them a promise. You still belong to me. Then Thomas says what others may also be thinking. Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? And thank God for Thomas. He is honest. He says out loud what others are feeling. He doesn't understand, and he's willing to admit it. And that matters because too often we as Christians think that faith means never saying, I don't know. But Thomas says it, and Jesus doesn't reject him for it. Thomas wants clarity. He wants a destination. He wants directions. He wants what we want. Just tell us where this is all headed. Just tell me how to get there. Just make the path obvious. But Jesus doesn't hand Thomas a map. He says, I am the way and the truth and the life. Thomas asks, where? Jesus answers, who? That's a turning point in this passage. The way is not first a route or a path or a road. The way is a person, a relationship. Jesus doesn't merely point toward God as though Jesus were a signpost. He himself is the living way into the life of the Father. And that means discipleship is not finally about receiving better directions. It's about being joined to Christ, trusting Christ, following Christ, taking the next step with Christ, even when you cannot yet see the whole road. And that is good news, because most of the time we do not get the whole road. We get just the next step, the next act of obedience, the next prayer, the next day. And Jesus says, that is enough, because I am enough. Then Philip speaks up and says, Lord, show us the Father and we will be satisfied. There's such ache in that sentence. Show us something unmistakable. Show us something solid enough to hold on to when everything else is shaking underneath our feet. Philip wants certainty. And Jesus answers by directing Philip back to himself. Have I been with you all this time, Philip? And you still don't know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. That's one of the great peaks of this gospel. If you want to know what God is like, look at Jesus. If you want to know how God speaks, look at Jesus. If you want to know how God loves, look at Jesus. If you want to know whether God draws near to the frightened, the failing, the confused, the grieving, look at Jesus. Jesus doesn't say merely, I can tell you all about God. He says, in effect, in me, God has come near enough to be seen. And that means the disciples do not need something beyond Jesus in order to get to the real God. If you've seen him wash feet, you've seen the Father's heart. If you've seen him bear with weak disciples, you have seen the Father's patience. If you've seen him weep at a tomb, you've seen the Father's compassion. If you see him go to the cross in self-giving love, you will see the Father's glory. Philip wants certainty. Jesus gives revelation. And the revelation is himself. Then Jesus does something astonishing. He says, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact, will do greater works than these because I'm going to the Father. And at first, doesn't that just sound impossible? Greater than his signs? Greater than raising Lazarus from the dead? But remember, the key is in the reason Jesus gives us. Because I am going to the Father. He's going. His going is not in defeat. His going is not disappearance. His going is to open the next chapter. The greater works are not about the church becoming more impressive than Jesus. They are greater in scope because the crucified, risen, ascended Christ continues his work through his people across the world and across the generations. That means when Jesus seems to be going away, disciples are not left with paralysis. They're given a vocation, a calling. So trust in Christ doesn't lead to passivity. It leads to participation. His work continues in his people. His mercy continues in his people. His witness continues in his people. His love continues in his people. And then Jesus speaks of prayer. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. I hope you don't hear that as a blank check for every desire. To ask in Jesus' name is not to add a magic phrase at the end of a prayer. It is, however, to pray in line with His character, with His mission, with His glory in mind. So when disciples don't know what comes next, they don't simply speculate. They pray. They ask. They seek. They call on the Lord, whose work is not over. John chapter 14 is spoken into an unfinished night. The betrayal is underway. The denial is coming. The cross is near. The resurrection has not yet dawned. And in that unfinished moment, Jesus doesn't give his disciples what they naturally want most. He doesn't give them total clarity. He doesn't give them a map. He doesn't give every answer to every question. But he gives them himself. And that's the comfort in this passage. It's also the command in this passage. It's the hope of the passage. When the way is not clear, trust the one who is the way. When truth feels hard to grasp, trust the one who is the truth. When life feels dimmed by fear and incompleteness, trust the one who is the life. Because the good news is not that disciples get full understanding before they are called to be faithful. The good news is that they are given Jesus. And Jesus is enough. Enough for troubled hearts. Enough for confused disciples. Enough for unfinished nights. Enough for the church in every season when the future is not yet clear. And so perhaps that is the word we most need to hear. Not understand everything. Not feel no fear, not see the whole road ahead, but Jesus saying this, trust me. And by grace, we the church learn to answer, Lord, we don't know every step. Lord, we don't see the whole road. Lord, we don't understand it all. But we will trust you. For you are the way and the truth and the life. Amen. Amen. Amen.